are listening to the Sunday morning podcast of Derrida Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. We pray you will grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Indeed, Jesus, there is no other king like you. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. There is no other king like you. We pray now that in the reading, proclamation of your word, that we would know you not only as the King, but our King. By the working of your Holy Spirit, through the reading and proclamation of your word, may our hearts surrender to you, King Jesus. It is in your name that we pray. Amen. If you have your Bible with you this morning, I invite you to turn to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 19, verses 28 through 40. I want to bring you a message this morning entitled, Joy, Stones, and the Arrival of the King. Hear now the word of God. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.'" Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." In our text this morning from the Gospel of Luke, it takes place on the Sunday before the celebration of the Passover on Friday. Jesus, followed by his disciples, is making his final trip to Jerusalem. Jesus pulled his inner circle of 12 disciples aside and told them that they were going to Jerusalem. there in Jerusalem the things written about him by the ancient Old Testament prophets were going to be fulfilled. Jesus, speaking of himself, said, "For he will be handed over to the Gentiles, and he will be mocked and insulted and spat upon. After they have flogged him, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise again." And so, Jesus and his disciples traveled toward Jerusalem. They made their way through the town of Jericho, just 17 miles from Jerusalem. They traveled on until they arrived at the Mount of Olives, just 2 miles from Jerusalem. Near the Mount of Olives, there were two tiny villages, Bethphage and Bethany. And there on that mountain, the Mount of Olives, near those two villages, Jesus did something astounding that ignited the joy, excitement, and exuberance of the disciples. You see, they had walked all the way from Galilee, some 60 plus miles away. Now, while on the Mount of Olives, less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, on the Mount of Olives, they could see the holy city. They could see the temple gleaming like a jewel in the sun. They were close to Jerusalem. While on the Mount of Olives, less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, Jesus decided to ride a donkey into the city. Jesus decided to ride a donkey the last 2 miles to Jerusalem, not because he was tired of walking. He wanted to make a statement. He wanted to make a clear, bold, and undeniable statement. You see, in the Old Testament, when the prophets had preached and preached and preached, and the people still wouldn't receive the message, the prophets in the Old Testament would sometimes act out their message in some dramatic way. For example, the prophet Jeremiah received a word from God warning the people that they were in danger of being conquered by the nation of Babylon. No one wanted to listen. So the prophet got a yoke, like the kind an ox wears when pulling a plow, and the prophet put it around his own neck in order to act out his message, in order to make the message clear. In a similar way, Jesus proclaimed a message about his identity by riding a donkey into Jerusalem. In the Old Testament book of the prophet Zechariah, chapter 9, verse 9, the scriptures indicate that the Messiah will enter Jerusalem riding on a donkey. The prophet Zechariah wrote, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And so Jesus sent two of his disciples into the village ahead of them. He told them that as they entered the village, that they would find a colt that had never been ridden. He told them to untie it and to bring it to him. And if anyone asked them why they were taking the colt, he said, "Just tell them the Lord needs it." And sure enough, the disciples found the donkey exactly as Jesus had said. As they were untying it, the owners asked, why are you untying the colt? They responded with the words, the exact words Jesus told them to say. The Lord needs it. And they were allowed to take it. Notice the sovereign knowledge and control of Jesus. He not only knew that there would be a donkey near the entrance of the village ahead, he knew that it was a donkey that had never been ridden. He also ensured the disciples' success in getting the donkey by giving them the right words to say to the donkey's owner. Jesus was unfolding and fulfilling an eternal plan to rescue the world that had been captive and enslaved to sin and death since the fall of Adam and Eve. So the disciples brought the colt to Jesus. And by riding that donkey into Jerusalem, Jesus was proclaiming, I am the King. I am the Messiah. I am the one the world has been waiting for. I am the one through whom God the Father is bringing to the earth salvation, peace, joy, new life, forgiveness, redemption, new creation, the very kingdom of God. It was a bold move. It was a bold statement. And the disciples got the message. They got the message. Some put their cloaks on the donkey to create a saddle. Others spread their cloaks on the road. That's how you welcome a king. They knew that's how you welcome a king into the city. They put their cloaks on the ground. The Gospel of John tells us that others cut palm branches from the trees and went out to meet him. Palm branches are symbols of victory, joy, celebration. And it was a celebration. The disciples started praising God. The Bible says joyfully and with a loud voice. Then the Bible says that some of the Pharisees were offended. The Pharisees were offended. Why? Well, maybe they feared a military response by the Romans, because the disciples were calling Jesus king, and everyone knew that Caesar would try to stamp out any new king with violence, any talk of a new king with violence. Maybe it was all just too emotional for these Pharisees. Maybe these Pharisees thought, you know, this isn't very Presbyterian. After all, the Bible says the disciples joyfully praised God in loud voices. Well, we don't know all the reasons why, but we know that the Pharisees tried to stop. They tried to stop the disciples' praise. They said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But Jesus said, "If they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." What a statement by the Lord. If they keep quiet. I mean, think about those words for a moment. If they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. It means that the truth about Jesus Christ is so irrepressible, so uncontainable, so unstoppable, that even if we who are believers were to keep silent, the very stones would praise and proclaim the name of Jesus. Notice that Jesus did not say that the grass would cry out, or the trees, or the birds. He said the stones, the most inanimate of inanimate objects. Stones are hard, cold, lifeless. They are completely clueless. If we want to insult someone, we'd say they are as dumb as a rock. Stones are clueless. And yet, Jesus Christ is so great, so glorious, so wonderful, so worthy, so radiant, so magnificent, so superior, so sovereign, and so supreme that even the rocks get it. If they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Notice those two words, cry out, cry out. Those two words in English are translated from just one Greek word. That Greek word is kradzo, kradzo. Jesus said, if the stones keep quiet, if they keep quiet, the stones will kradzo. They will cry out. Kradzo in Greek is not a scream, but a shout. It is a shout with two components. Number one, volume, that is, it is loud. And two, boldness, that is, it is a bold statement. And so Jesus said that if his disciples were to keep quiet, that even the stones would make a loud and bold statement about him. How about you? In your joy, are you making any loud and bold statements about Jesus? Or are you in danger of having a rock take your place? Friends, on this Palm Sunday, know, you gotta know that you have a witness to share. You have a witness to share. Jesus has been good to you. Do not be silent about it. Luke says that on that first Palm Sunday, the disciples thought about all Jesus had done up to that point, and they exploded with an irresistible and uncontrollable praise. Verse 37 says, when he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. And what had they seen? They saw people with that dreaded skin disease, leprosy, who had to be quarantined from the rest of society. They saw people with that dreaded skin disease, which most often meant death, healed. Skin made smooth like a baby. They saw paralysis, man who couldn't move. Jesus said, get up. Take up your mat, walk. They saw a man blind from birth, eyes opened. They saw a woman who had been hemorrhaging for 12 years. The Bible says, spent all the money she had on doctors and no one could cure her. The Bible says that she pressed through the crowd and just touched the hem of his garment. Didn't touch him, touched his garment, and power went out from him, and she was healed. They saw Jesus in the middle of a storm tell the wind and the waves to sit down and be quiet. They did. They saw demons cast out. They saw Jesus feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. They saw these miracles. Jesus changed their lives. And when they thought about it, when they thought about what he had done, all the miracles, all the good things he had done, they couldn't help but praise him. Friends, you got to know this morning that every believer has a story to tell. For who among us has not gone through some hard trials? Who among us has not gone through some hard times? Who has not gone through some deep waters and some fiery trials? Who among us has not had some sleepless nights and stressful days? Who among us has not been so depressed and hard-pressed that you felt like you were going down for the count, ready to give up, maybe even thinking about ending it all? And you made it through. You made it through, not because of some coincidence. Things just didn't work themselves out. You made it through not because of your own strength and ingenuity. You made it through only because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ operating in your life. Throughout the Bible, we see that the people who understand what God has done for them are the people who give God the most lavish, extravagant, over-the-top praise. Though some thought it undignified for a king of Israel, the Bible says that David danced before the Lord with all of his might. When Miriam saw that God had drowned Pharaoh's army, she and the other women grabbed tambourines and began to sing and dance. Oh, for the day when Presbyterians would grab tambourines and sing and dance for the salvation of the Lord. Luke chapter 7, Jesus was having a dinner in the home of Simon the Pharisee. And the Bible says that a woman who had lived a sinful life came into their nice dinner party with an alabaster jar perfume. Overcome with emotion, her tears wet his feet. She dried them with her hair. She kissed them, poured perfume on them. And the Pharisee was offended by this display of emotion. And Jesus said to him, she loved much, because her many sins have been forgiven. Oh, saints of God, we have got to get excited once again simply because in Jesus we are saved. Now, I know that's not very sophisticated, and I know you want to be sophisticated and respectable Presbyterians, and I know this isn't very sophisticated, but I don't know about you, but I've got to praise the name of Jesus simply because I know that he brings salvation to my soul. The gates of hell, because of Jesus, have no authority over my life. Because of Jesus' death and resurrection, hell is closed to me and heaven is open to me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I'm grateful to be a whosoever. The Bible says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for me to try to clean myself up. He died for me when I was in my mess. The Bible says, if anyone is in Christ, they are new creation. On this Palm Sunday, you have a witness to share. You have a story to share concerning what God
has done for you in Jesus Christ. Do not be silent. Do not let a stone take your place. Second, on this Palm Sunday, you not only have a witness to share, but you have a king to praise. You have a king to praise. Now, if anybody is worthy of praise, Jesus is worthy of praise. I remember being a teenager going to concerts, and I would yell until my voice couldn't get out another sound. I would jump up and down. I would have a great time celebrating at those concerts. And now, in my 40s, I think if anybody is worthy of praise, Jesus is worthy. He's worthy of that kind of energy. He's worthy of that kind of celebration. Luke says that as they approached Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday, the disciples praised him as king. Again, verse 38. Joyfully. In verse 38, they joyfully quoted Psalm 118. Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord, they said. And again, they spread their cloaks on the ground. Spreading their cloaks on the ground was a sign of submission. It was a sign of coming under and submitting to the reign of a king. Oh, friends, don't miss this. Don't miss this. The disciples praised Jesus, not as teacher, not as rabbi, but as king. Blessed is the king. Blessed is the king. Here's why that's important. In ancient Israel, before the birth of Jesus, way back there in the Old Testament, when the kings of Israel walked with God, which was rare, by the way, when the kings of Israel walked with God and obeyed the commandments of God, there was peace. There was shalom in the nation. But when the kings of Israel turned to idols, when they oppressed the poor and were sinful, there was trouble in the land. And prophets of God, prophets anointed by the Holy Spirit, would call these kings of Israel to return to God. They would call them to repent. They would warn them that if they did not change their ways, that God's judgment would come on the nation. These kings would not listen. Things got worse and worse and worse and worse. Things got so bad with these kings of Israel that God finally allowed Babylon to conquer Israel and to carry the nation away into exile. But the prophets, even in the midst of speaking of God's judgment upon a sinful people, the prophets also spoke about another king. The prophets also spoke about a future king, a Messiah who would come and reign in justice and righteousness, a king who would be God with us, a king who would set the whole world aright, a king who would have a kingdom that would never end. Do you remember what the angel Gabriel said to Mary? He said, you will conceive and give birth to a son,
and you ought to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the descendants of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Oh, friends, Jesus is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is the unique Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, the image of the invisible God. Everything that is God about God dwells in the person of Jesus Christ. Remember the claims he made about himself. He said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. He said, if you have seen me, then you have seen the Father. Someone once said that someone talking like that is either a liar, a lunatic, or he is Lord. And friends, on this Palm Sunday, if Jesus is king, then Caesar is not. If Jesus is king, then cancer is not. If Jesus is king, then racism and sexism and classism are not. If Jesus is king, then your problems are not, no matter how big your problems are. If Jesus is king, then your past is not. If anybody is worthy of a shout of praise, King Jesus is worthy. King Jesus is worthy of praise not only for who he is, but also for what he has done. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, they didn't call it Palm Sunday then. It was for them 5 days before the Passover, that festival of the Jews to celebrate their deliverance from slavery in Egypt. While in Egypt, God told them to kill a lamb and to place some of its blood over the door. That way, when the Lord passed through Egypt, he would strike down the Egyptians, but pass over Israelite homes marked by the blood of the lamb. And in that way, the Lord would loosen the hand of Pharaoh and deliver his people from the enemy. Jesus rode into Jerusalem not as a conquering military king, but as the humble king arriving to give his life as the Lamb of God. For our deliverance from sin and Satan, the incarnate Son of God received the crown of thorns. He received the beatings that tore into his flesh. He received the nails in his hands and feet. The prophet Isaiah says, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Apostle Paul writes, though he was in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being found in human likeness and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Friends, in the face of such divine love and sacrifice, how could we ever let stones outdo us? Jesus is so worthy. In Revelation chapter 5, the Apostle John was given a vision of heaven.
He said that he saw angels, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of angels, and they were all singing in a, here we go again, a loud voice. And they were singing, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Oh, on this Palm Sunday, know that you have a witness to share and you have a King to praise. Finally, on this Palm Sunday, you have a decision to make. You have a decision to make. Many people in Jesus' day misunderstood his kingship. Many believed him only to be a king for Israel. Many believed him only to be coming into Jerusalem to overthrow the Romans. And many of those celebrating his entrance into Jerusalem later that same week shouted, "Crucify him." You have a decision to make. Will you try to make Jesus what you want him to be? Will you try to domesticate him and use him as a kind of genie that you call on when you want something? Will you try to use Jesus and to shape him into a kind of Jesus that you want, that supports your life the way you want it, your lifestyle the way you want it? You have a decision to make. Will you try to domesticate Jesus and use him? Or will you submit to him? Will you trust him? Will you dedicate yourself to getting to know him as he really is, as revealed in his word? There are a whole lot of people who say they love Jesus, but they don't really know him. And they're not trying to know him more. They're not trying to submit to him. You have a decision to make. It's one thing to celebrate a Jesus made in your own liking. It's another thing to submit to him as he really is. You have a decision to make. Will you follow him to the cross? Will you follow him to the cross? Will you follow him there to that place of suffering and death? For it's on the cross Jesus is enthroned. He's enthroned there. On the cross, Jesus defeats the enemy, sin, death. On the cross, Jesus inaugurates the kingdom of God. On the cross, he rescues and redeems your soul. You have a decision to make. Will you follow and embrace a domesticated Jesus that you make up, that you like? Or will you follow Jesus as he really is? Will you submit to him as your king?